And he told himself for the 100th time that he should put down the report and head home, but he had only one page left. It was a tragic read, a family's life ruined by a gas explosion. A 15-year-old girl comes home from school and has just enough time to pull her brother out of the fire, while her mother, Sinead Lugu, dies. If Johan Boy really had felt real love for this woman, reading it must have been incredibly painful. But why was he reading it, if the case was closed? It should not be necessary. Was this old case the reason for his brutal murder? Holland could not let go of that thought. He knew he did not have to solve this crime. His only assignment was to find out who was driving the car. That was the purpose of his investigation, nothing else. He had insisted on staying to read the report when Carina went home. He wanted to find out if there was any indication that Johan had figured something out. Perhaps the case was a murder and not just a gas explosion. Did Johan's killer know what he had found out? Maybe a co-worker did it. But there was nothing in the report, not in the forensic report either, that pointed to that. Sinead Lugu had died in a gas explosion. That was all there was to it. Roland closed the report and leaned back in his chair. When he turned off the table lamp, he felt the darkness close around him until his eyes got used to it and the light from the streetlight reached him. The Independent Police Complaints Commission's officers were in the old post and telegraph building, which was part of the central station. Everyone had gone home, and he decided he should probably leave too. Then he would have time to talk to Irene and maybe even drink a glass of Barolo with her before they had to go to bed. Tomorrow, he and Carina had to go back to Silkeborg. They had to interrogate the last of the officers in Silkeborg. They had not talked to everyone today, and the only one of them who drove a car that was similar to the one that hit Johan had the day off, but he would be back tomorrow. Roland stood up, stretched, and yawned. Then he put on his coat and locked himself out with a code. "Did you stay late last night?" Carina asked next morning, while she pulled the seat belt over the passenger seat and looked searchingly at him. "Nah, not that late," he lied. "I read the report." "About the fire?" Orlant nodded and maneuvered the IPCC's black Mazda CX-5 out into the morning traffic. It was bad in front of Aarhus Central Station at this time of the morning. "You still think the old case may have something to do with Johan's murder," she concluded with a sceptical smile and fastened her seatbelt. "I want to eliminate the possibility so we can focus on other things." "What did you find out then?" "You read the report too." He made way for a yellow bus that turned in at the stop sign in front of the station. People swarmed out and barely looked where they walked, because their eyes were glued to their smartphones. Maybe they were playing Pokemon Go in the early hours of the morning. They could step in front of the car at any second. His foot lingered over the brake pedal. "Yeah, I read it, and I don't think there's anything more to find. It's probably just a coincidence that Johan Boy had it in his drawer. I think it has more to do with his affair than anything else. We're looking for a cop who's had a relationship with Johan Boy. Jealousy is the number one reason for murder." "We'll know more when we've spoken to the rest of his co-workers." Holland turned on the radio. They rode in silence for the rest of the trip. When they passed the bridge at Silkeborg, he enjoyed the sight of the morning sun reflecting in the Gudenåg. The fog was lingering on top of the water, between the reeds, like in a fairy tale that was telling a story of a cold, clear, and almost windless night. Carina was sleeping. Roland felt surprisingly awake. Irene had waited to eat until he came home last night. They had eaten together and had a few glasses of good red wine. Afterwards, he walked.